Hey everyone, this is Helena Hart, and today I am talking with Mike Goldstein. Hi Mike, welcome.
Hi Helena, thanks for having me.
I'm so excited. You know, Mike is actually my real life best friend, and he's also an amazing dating and relationship expert. He's the founder of Easy Dating Coach, and he's been featured on the Today Show, the Star Ledger, Reader's Digest, Shape Magazine. He has actually the highest success rate in the entire country for getting his clients into lasting relationships. We can talk a little bit more about that. But I was speaking with Mike last night and telling him that I'd like to start a podcast and, you know, talk to some of my friends and some of the amazing dating and relationship experts I know, just in a more kind of casual conversational style, so we can go a little deeper into some of these topics that we discuss on YouTube and in my newsletters. So Mike is the perfect person to have on for my very first episode. I'm honored to have you here, Mike, and I'm very excited to dive into this topic. Today we're going to be talking about 5 things a man needs in order to fall in love and truly commit to a long-term relationship with you. So, Mike, I'm so excited. Let's just get right into it. Is there anything you want to say to kind of pre-frame this conversation before we jump into these 5 things?
Yeah, I just, you know, in terms of commitment, it's all about forever. And not like a short-term commitment where maybe you become boyfriend, girlfriend, or maybe he commits to you for a little while. What I think is really interesting is when a man and a woman decide to commit forever, and that's kind of what we really wanted to get to in this, is what's going to cause him to feel comfortable to do it for a lifetime, for forever. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. You know, for everyone familiar with my material, my, you know, videos or ebooks and programs, you know, I'm not about giving short-term results. That's why I knew, Mike, you were the perfect person to have on my first episode, because I know you're the same way. We're all about giving you those long-term, permanent, lasting changes that's really going to transform your love life. So thank you for bringing that up. And let's jump right in. What's that first thing a man needs in order to fall in love and truly want to commit?
Yeah, so I've been spending like the last 10 years working on this, but I had this like amazing aha moment a few months ago when I was at this love coaching seminar, and one of my colleagues and good friends invited me to come to a seminar where he had a few hundred people where he was speaking on stage. So I'm sitting front, I'm sitting actually in the back, and he starts, it's probably about 60% female and 40% male, but there's hundreds of people in this room. And he goes to the men, and he goes to everyone in the room, why are men afraid of commitment? And, you know, women are kind of like shaking their heads like, yeah, why are they afraid of commitment? And men are like, oh boy, here we go. And he's like, is it because you're afraid of it ending? And I look around and every man is nodding their head up and down. And he goes, men, are you terrified that the relationship at some point is going to come to an end? And they're like, yes. And is that what prevents you from getting down on one knee and asking a woman to marry you? And every man in the room is like, yes, I am terrified of it eventually coming to an end. It's almost like in all these men's heads, like it flashed through their heads of when they had that rough breakup, or for many of them, they had a divorce, maybe 2 divorces. And they remembered that pain of, oh God, it was so horrible when it ended. And I was so sure when I, you know, dropped to a knee and proposed. And when I proposed, I thought I was going to spend my life with this person. And, you know, things just changed. Something changed. And, you know, that's why the relationship, you know, headed south. And men are terrified of that change and afraid of divorce and afraid that a woman, the woman he loves, is going to stop looking at him like she truly admires him, truly appreciates him. And just, you know, life happens, change happens, and all of a sudden she's looking at him instead of with, like, you know, these big wide eyes of like, man, I've got the greatest man on the planet. Instead, she starts looking at him with disdain, like, ugh, this guy, got to wake up to this guy. And he is terrified that it's going to turn into that. And instead of having this abundance of a happy life, it just turns into this disdainful, you know, negative relationship instead of this positive, happy experience. Does that make sense, Elena?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you know, you read my mind. I was just saying that makes so much sense. And I've actually never heard anyone talk about it in that way before. So I'm so happy that you brought that up. It makes perfect sense to me. I mean, a lot of both of us, men and women, have grown up with maybe not the best models when it comes to relationships. Maybe a man saw his parents or other family members or close friends. You know, maybe they started out in love, but over time, a few years or decades later, it turns into this different thing where the woman's constantly nagging him, or the man just feels like no matter what he does, he can't do anything right, or he's just never enough. And I think men, especially the way their brains are wired, I'd love to hear your take on this, Mike, is, you know, for a man to want to commit to a relationship, especially a lifelong relationship where there's marriage and kids potentially involved, that's a big use of his resources. Resources meaning, you know, time, money, all of that, emotions, it's just a big deal for men. I know most men take commitment so seriously because it's going to be, you know, a huge kind of, I don't want to say the word drain, but a huge use of all of these things that he spends his life building up, right? And so he wants to make sure that he's going to make the right choice. Does that sound right to you? That's been my kind of opinion or experience of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a serious selection. Like, as women and as men, we have access to, you know, 4 billion about people that we could potentially partner with. Obviously, the number's a little smaller when we're looking at the right age and socioeconomic, but still, even John Gray talks about us having 300,000 potential soulmates that really make sense for us. So to your point, yeah, it's like, it's gotta be right. And so he's got to feel that not only is this wildly right, but it's going to stay right forever. And, you know, when he initially commits to you, he's like, man, this is right. But then when it's committing forever, it's like he's got to be convinced, hey, all my resources, all my time, all my money, everything we're going to do together, building a family potentially, buying a house, going on all these vacations, spending all this time. And in my opinion, time is our most valuable asset. Like all this commitment, he has to be convinced, like, this is my person forever.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm so glad we started with that one. It makes so much sense. And then some of these other ones we're going to get into is, you know, what a man needs to feel in order to feel like, yes, this is right. This is the right woman. And a lot of this goes both ways. I mean, I can personally relate to that too. You know, we women these days, we have a lot, that we could potentially lose. We have a lot to offer, you know, financially in many cases and just in terms of our own time and emotional investment. So a lot of these go both ways. So when you're out there, you know, for the single ladies watching, looking to attract and meet the right person, you want to be looking out for some of these things as well. So, yeah, let's jump into the second thing. This is something a man needs to feel in order to feel that you're the right woman for him, right?
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you brought that up. Like, women, you know, obviously don't sell yourself short. Like, you're all queens that are listening to this. And when you're picking your king, like, make sure he's treating you at the high standard you deserve. Absolutely. And,
for sure.
But yeah, let's talk about what men need. So the first one is he needs to feel needed. This is so important in today's day and age. If you look at like 100 years ago, men were the breadwinners. They went to work, they came home to the wife and the kids. And it's like, all right, like he made the money. He's providing this household, the food that we're eating, like he was really needed. And, you know, he was the breadwinner and he had a role. He's like, my role, make money, provide for the family. And now that role may not exist at all. He may be the stay-at-home guy or the woman just happens to be the breadwinner, which, you know, frankly, with a lot of my clients, the woman is the breadwinner. But he still has this thing that he's had for thousands, hundreds of thousands of years where he wants to feel like he has a purpose, like he's needed. And so where that comes in is a woman hopefully making him feel needed in other ways and being appreciated for other things. So it's not necessarily like the woman that makes 300,000 or whatever a year, like she doesn't need him for his money, but that doesn't mean she doesn't need a man. Maybe she wants a man for his emotional support, his advice. Maybe he's intelligent. Maybe the way he treats her, maybe the way he shows up in the relationship. So how do we do that in a practical way? We'll start in the early stages and then, you know, advance, if that's okay, Helena.
Yeah, you read my mind. I was going to say, how can a woman actually apply some of this? Because I know so many women that we work with and who are in our communities, at least mine, I think yours as well, Mike, they're really independent, strong, successful women. And that is a fantastic thing in our opinion. So you can do that. You can be totally kicking ass out there in the world or maybe in your career and look to a man as your man. As, you know, you need him for something. So I would love to hear your take on that, how specifically how a woman could do that.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought up the independent woman. Like, I'm thinking of, like, I'm imagining with my eyes closed, like, the divorced woman that has the great job, has two kids, and is running around, like, with, you know, like, going to work, then somehow picking up the kids, like, cooking all their meals, taking care of them, and she's just, like, the queen of her empire, just like managing all this. And just, you know, we talk about being in masculine energy where she's like just getting everything done. Like, that's her job, get everything done. And then when she shows up on the date, you know, sometimes it's a little hard to transform into that feminine energy. But what would be amazing is now she gets to be the queen and get taken care of. So for example, let's say you're on a date at like Starbucks, and you didn't go, you got your coffee and you forgot to get the sugar. Normally the independent woman's like, ugh, you know, I can get off my butt and get some sugar, no problem. But the next level of being a total queen and having more connection with your partner is asking him to help. And you say, hey, would you mind getting me some sugar? And so now I go walk up there, I grab some sugar, I bring it back. And Helena, you know, you and I are on a date, you go, Mike, you are such a gentleman. Thank you so much. So now I felt needed. Like, I had a role. I had a purpose. In this instant, my purpose was to take care of my lady on this date. And so I felt like I had a role, which was fabulous. And you being this independent woman, it's like, man, this was pretty sweet. Instead of me having to go get the sugar for my kids or to make the peanut butter and jelly, someone took care of me. And that feels nice. Does that make sense, Helena?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I can just tell you from firsthand experience and just in the, you know, the comment sections of some of my videos and with my clients and just women in my community, men love this so much. The masculine energy, really good hearted men that want to be that king for you. They just can't get enough of it because a lot of men just don't feel needed. And, you know, we'll get into some of these other things. I almost said number three. We'll get there in a minute. Needed and, you know, respected and acknowledged for what they do. And it's so great when you get into this energy of like, you can be so independent, so successful, and just have your life handled and still feel good when a man gives to you. And that's what, you know, masculine energy men love to do. That's kind of the fuel that they run on, is they love to give to their woman and make her happy, even in these little ways. It's so important. And the tiniest little shift in this goes a long way. I know we've recorded so many videos together on YouTube, Mike, but I forgot to send this to you the other day. A woman commented on, I think, our latest one on why you need to, or how to inspire a man to make you more of a priority in his life. And she said that she used to have such a hard time allowing a man to do things like pay for coffee or, you know, go grab her a napkin, just the tiniest little thing. She started doing that and it changed her entire love life, just this one thing. So it's huge. It's actually huge. And yeah, that brings us to number three. This goes right along with the second one. Do you want to take us into the third one, Mike?
Yeah, we did. We actually didn't fully finish number two.
Oh yeah. Anything but, else yeah. You have to say on that? I'd love to hear it.
Actually, I even want to stay with number one for needed in terms of the early stages of a relationship. So imagine, like, I remember John Gray gives this phenomenal example of you know, he's with his wife, Bonnie, and he wants to gain points with her, and they're a little cold. And so he starts like a fireplace, and every time he goes up to get a piece of wood to throw it in the fireplace, he's like getting 1 point at a time. And every time she's like, looks at him with these, you know, big eyes, these big doughy eyes, and just like admires him, like, oh, what a big, strong man taking care of me, keeping me warm. And every time she puts a log, she's like, oh, John, you're the best. Like, thank you. So in a relationship, it's still like a guy can take care of you. And once again, every woman on here can pick up, you know, a log and put it in there. Or even simple stuff like the temperature control. You're at 69, you move it to 70. And maybe, you know, most guys run hot, and maybe he decides, you know what, I'm going to give it an extra degree because my wife, my partner, is cold. And I'll be a little hot so she can be comfortable. Like showing up that way. Now, the second one is needed, then appreciated, is number two, is appreciation. The key to appreciation is giving a little more appreciation than maybe what's deserved for the task he completed. Because then the equity of him thinking about it is like, hold on, I just did this little thing. Like, let's go back to the Starbucks example. I just, you know, walked 10 feet, got her sugar, and now I'm a gentleman. She goes, what a gentleman, like, thank you. He's like, all I had to do was that, and I got this gentleman compliment. That was worth the 10 steps. So every time he does something, if you make it a little more, your appreciation is a little more than the work he did, he's going to love it and then be positively reinforced to keep doing things for you. He's like, man, the compliments I get are even better. Does that make sense, Elena?
Oh, yeah, I want to add, it has to be authentic. You know, a man can feel it if you're just saying something like that because you're trying to get him to do more of that, right? But it feels good to appreciate. If you just go through life looking for things to appreciate, in my opinion, that's the key to a really happy, joyful, successful life, right? And I love what you said about the, you know, changing the temperature or putting another log on the fire. These are things a man doesn't have to do. And he's doing that for you. I mean, even the slightest little thing, like you get in his car and he's like, are you okay? Is the temperature all right? You know, should we roll the windows down or up? And these are things that, you know, the more you appreciate these things and notice these things, the more you'll really see the way that your man or any man is wanting to give to you and make you happy. So I love that.
Absolutely. And then when you really choose the right partner, and, you know, this doesn't happen, you know, overnight, but once you're really feeling your man, the next step of appreciation is stepping it up a notch to admiration, and where you're admiring the character of a man, where it's to that real next level where it's like, you know, you are such a good person. Like when you did blah, 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 like when you gave to that charity, I can see that you truly care about human beings, and you're the type of man like I'd want to spend my life with because you take care of people. And then when we were at that function and you saw, you know, this person had no one to talk to, I love that you went up to that person and talked to them. Like you have such a good heart. And those type of compliments makes him feel like, whoa, like this is the type of partner I could be with forever, because they're making me feel like I'm a better person than I actually feel myself. And so if they feel this way about me, and I feel like they're going to feel that way for 50 years or however long, you know, life is, that's someone I can commit to forever. Cause I see that they look at me a certain way. Like maybe they look at me even more than I look inside myself. Does that make sense, Elena?
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up. That's so important. And of course, this isn't about just like coddling a man's ego. And, you know, this is for men who truly have earned your appreciation and respect and your heart, really, right? Because, you know, there's so many great men out there. And the more you kind of look for things to appreciate, the more you're going to either elicit that behavior in your man or attract men who are more of what you want. You know, you're kind of bringing forth the most positive aspects of your last date into the next one if the first guy wasn't quite the right match for you. I've just seen that happen over and over and over. And it's really amazing. Yeah, I love what you said about how you're almost giving him a window in to parts of himself that he might not see clearly. And just like all the others, this goes both ways. You want to be with a man who appreciates you and acknowledges you for what you do and who, you know, admires your character. I love that you kind of bump that up to the next level of he wants to be acknowledged and appreciated not only for what he does, but for who he is as a person. That's really, really important. Anything else you want to say on that, or do you want to move on to the next one?
Yeah, just I love what you said. That's so perfect. The one thing about admiration that I want to include, like Helena said it perfectly, like it's got to be authentic. But if you're looking at your guy and you don't get to the point of actually admiring him for the type of man that he is, there's a good chance that's not the right partner for you.
Totally.
Because if you're
totally
legitimately going to spend, you know, 50 years together and you don't get to or 30 years or whatever it is, if you don't get to the point of looking at him like almost like he's this like mini superhero or this like amazing man that is just above and beyond like men that you've been with in terms of character traits, that's not someone that you can put up with. Because imagine you're living together and he starts, you know, leaving the garbage out or leaving his dirty underwear on the floor. Well, the guy that you truly admire, that's fine. All right, he's got his underwear on the floor. I'll let that go because he's a great man. But the guy you don't admire, all that stuff's going to add up and drive you nuts, and then you guys are going to start hating each other.
Oh, yeah. I'm, like, trying not to laugh too hard over here. So that's where everything starts, right? So, yeah, you want to make sure you have this foundation. If you don't truly respect and admire who your man is, it's probably not a good guy to be with long-term because a man can feel that, and, you know, that resentment can start to build up over time, just like you said. So love everything you shared there. You ready to move on to the next piece of this?
Yeah, and that actually, like, funnels right into it. It's acceptance. So once you've, like, once you've made him feel needed, you appreciate, admire him, then there's going to be acceptance. So then, you know, once again, like, you know, maybe he leaves underwear on the floor or whatever. It's okay. Ariel Ford told me this wonderful story of this married couple. So John and we'll use Helena because you're here. So John and Helena are married. And John's about 20 years older than Helena. And so one day she comes down, and every morning John makes a poppy seed bagel. And every morning there's poppy seeds everywhere, on the counter, on the floor. And every morning Helena's amazing and cleans it up after John. But one day she was just nuts with John. Like she was angry at John. So she comes home and she sees the poppy seeds everywhere and she's about to lose it and about to go scream at him. And this was about 30 years into the marriage. And she goes, you know what? If these poppy seeds were here, if these poppy seeds were not here, then John would not be here. And then she got appreciative that she got to clean it up because she knew that John was here, still alive, still okay. And she was happy about it.
I love that story. I remember you shared that in our very first, I think, live stream or interview we did together years and years ago. And that's always kind of stuck with me because, yeah, who can't relate to feeling irritated in those day-to-day moments? But the bigger picture is like, wow, I'm actually, you know, married or, you know, with the love of my life and we're living together and having this great life. So there's always different ways you can spin it. You can choose to focus on something you don't like, or you can look at a man and choose to focus on how he makes you feel amazing. You know, that choice is yours in that moment. I think as women, it can be easy to default into, or maybe men too, but maybe it's just a human nature thing. It can be easy to default into what we don't like or to what we wish would change. I get emails every day, you know, here's a list of all the things about my man I want to change. I'm sure you get those emails too, right? And so, yeah, you have that choice. I think as women, I guess I can speak personally, we're often inspired by our anger or our jealousy. We were somehow raised to kind of wallow in pain and then rise above it. And so sometimes it's so natural for us just to go right to the negative, so easy just to be critical sometimes, when actually there's like this whole world of amazing perceptions and things you can open yourself up to. So that was a great example of that. Anything else you want to share there? Are you ready to move on to this last piece of this?
Yeah, thank you for asking. I want to add one other piece. You know, in terms of committing forever, on both sides of the equation, when, you know, a woman's deciding and a man's deciding, it's vital that we look at, and in regards to acceptance, someone that's giving, you need to find a partner that's a very giving person, right? And to make this a math equation, because I love math, it should be like a 10-to-1 type of formula every day, where there's 10 positives to 1 negative. So maybe if the guy is leaving his underwear on the floor, which is driving you nuts, that's your 1 negative. But is he showing up with 10 positives so you can accept that? And the 10 positives could be, hey, I'm, you know, blah, blah, blah happened, and he acknowledges you like, oh, sorry that happened. All right, that's a +1 point. Or he brings you your coffee in bed That's a point. Or, you know, he gives you a kiss goodbye, and that's a point. So is he showing up with the plus 10 positive? And then when the negative happened, is it a 10-to-1 ratio? So if you're seeing that, or even as a couple, you can talk about that and work towards it, then you're in good shape. But if you're not, and you're starting to get irritated towards each other, you're going to want to, you know, pivot away to, towards more of a 10-to-1 ratio.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. Even if you're out there looking, you know, to attract and meet the right person, you know, nobody's going to do everything perfectly 100% of the time. Just like we're going to disappoint, you know, our man sometimes. He's not going to, you know, you don't want to expect perfection, but I like that ratio. If you are putting up with like 80% of the time things aren't good, but you're just kind of tolerating it because of those 20%, you know, 20% of the time it's a high because he's showing you a little love or affection, but then he disappears for a week. It's another example I hear all the time. You don't want to be living your life for that 20%. You want to make sure that most of the time you're feeling good. So this is great advice for if you're single or in a relationship. I think that's really important. You ready to move on to the last one?
Yeah, I'm so glad you just brought that up because, you know, what we're looking for in terms of relationships is like 95% of the time it should be like happy and great. And if it's not, all of us need to take accountability for that if it's less than 95%. So like even if the man, for example, is not, you know, living up to your standard, well, that brings in number four, which is having boundaries. And what boundaries ultimately is a man's best friend. A woman with boundaries is a man's best friend because a woman with boundaries is actually giving him a roadmap of how to make her happy. And speaking as a man, I can tell you, and I am a professional love and dating coach who should know how, you know, women work, but every woman is different. So, and I mess this up all the time as a professional. So imagine all the other guys out here, we're mostly clueless. So when a woman tells us, you know, what she needs, we love that. Because once again, that brings us back to if we do, you know, what she wants, then we feel needed. We have a purpose. Our purpose is, you know, part of our purpose is our lady and taking care of her, protecting her, making her smile. And then what we get in reward is our appreciation and we feel great about it. Hey, we did this. And we got our compliment. We got our appreciation. We got our admiration. I feel like a better man now. So the most important part about this whole roadmap is execution. Because so many women are like, Mike, that's all great, but I want to be the cool woman that doesn't nag and doesn't bother a poor guy because I've been told, you know, jokingly or half jokingly, you know, make me a sandwich, give me a blowjob, and the guy's happy. That's not true. That might get you to month three, but we're here to talk about commitment forever. And what he really wants is to be told exactly what you need. So an example would be you're in partnership and maybe he's not taking you on dates anymore, which happens all the time. You're on month eight and he used to be courting you and now all of a sudden he's not taking you on dates. He's just, you know, let's Netflix or let's order takeout. And it's like, whoa, I want to get dressed up and, you know, be seen with you. So instead of being like, you never take me out, like, why don't we go on dates anymore and nagging at him, it's more like, honey, you are the greatest boyfriend, and I just love spending time with you. It would feel amazing if you would plan a great date for us. What do you think, Helena? How's that come off?
I think that's perfect. I like that. You talk so much about, you know, having the man be the one to plan it. The man needs to be the one to plan it because completing a task like that and then you showing him appreciation and acknowledgement when that happens is going to make him feel so good. It's going to boost his testosterone levels and he's going to start associating that with you, right? That I feel accomplished in this relationship, which is so important, especially when it comes to a man seeing you as that one woman he can't live without, right? So I think that's great. You know, I always talk about, you know, letting a man know what, you know, how it would feel. So it's not about what he's doing or not doing. You know, why don't you take me on special dates anymore? why don't you give me as much affection or call me as much as you used to at the beginning of the relationship? All of that kind of puts you in a position below him energetically. It's as though this man is holding something that you want, something he's not giving you, right? And you don't want to do that. You want to just express how it would feel. It would feel incredible to go on a date with you or try this new restaurant. What do you think, right? Or how can we work this out so we can both get to do what we want tomorrow night? You know what I mean? And just working together as a team like that. I think that was great. I think that's amazing. I hear so many women, I just got a comment on my YouTube channel right before we started this, saying that men hate boundaries and that there's so many options out there of people that if you tell a man a boundary, he'll just move on and leave you for some woman who doesn't have boundaries. And I know that to not be true. I know that the right man will absolutely not only respect your boundaries, but it'll raise your perceived value in his eyes if you're able to express them in a feminine way, just like you said, and stick to them. So what do you have to say for women out there who believe that men don't like boundaries, or they'll just leave you and move on to someone else if you set one?
Yeah, I mean, you're so, I mean, just perfectly right. The perceived value goes down. Like, you know, it might be fun, you know, back to the blowjob and the sandwich, like that's cool for a few months, but ultimately, like, there's no backbone, there's no value. And like, think about the guy you probably want, like the high value guy that probably had access to options. When he finally gets a woman that gives him a little pushback and says, you know, this is what I want, this is what I don't want, he respects that woman. And he's like, I want to earn her. And so he wants to go out and like, well, how do I plan a better date? How do I put in some effort? How do I earn this woman? Because this is a high-value woman. This is a woman I could consider instead of the woman that just, you know, puts up with all his crap, which doesn't make his purpose any better too, because it's like, all right, I get to still be the same guy I am right now, which I think is okay. But really, what a guy wants is a relationship that's elevating himself, where the woman kind of drives him to be a better man by setting a high standard. And so then when he's within the relationship, he's like, this is amazing. I got to a higher level. And since I'm at a higher level, like, I don't want this to ever end. I want to keep going higher, higher, higher. And so to your point, like 10 minutes ago where you said a man wants to feel within the relationship that, you know, he's getting somewhere, that's who he wants to commit to forever, because he's increasing his purpose, increasing his value, going after a woman of high value. It's just better than being single. And that's what he wants to commit to forever, is this thing that's better, as opposed to being single, which, you know, is good, but not this new better thing that he's found.
Yeah, I've heard somewhere that men feel bonded to you when they're overcoming challenges. And not that you want to, like, throw up a bunch of arbitrary roadblocks or obstacles. I can tend to do that, so I know that's something I'm just continually working on, right? Just kind of putting these walls around yourself. Rather than doing that, if you can kind of give him something that he can earn, right? Like, especially combined with all these other things, making him feel needed and appreciated and accepted, and that who he is and what he does makes you happy. All of that combined with having strong boundaries, knowing your value and acting according to that, it's like this magical combination where you're feeling really strong, really secure on the inside, and soft and open and feminine and just vulnerable on the outside. That combination is like the magic key that makes a man feel like he just never wants to live without you, in my experience, my opinion. Mike, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, actually, that's not even an opinion. The Gottmans have done studies on that, and they've shown that when you go through adversity, it actually bonds you and keeps you happier within a marriage, when they were doing this study. But it has to be when he's telling the story of the struggle that you guys have gone through, it's got to be like a positive spin where my partner helped me through it. And we've, you know, went through the war together and we got through that, not like, and you know, she caused this. So it all depends on how he's framing it. If he's framing it right, and you're hearing him tell the story at a party in a positive way, then you're going to be in a marriage that can last forever. But if he's framing it in a negative way, that's one of the signs that, you know, you're headed down a bad path.
Yeah, it's almost, the image I get is you standing together or facing outward together or tackling the problem, even if it's a problem within the dynamic of your relationship rather than, you know, being at odds, at facing each other, facing away from each other. So I think that was great. I know you have an amazing free gift to share, but before we get to that, let's recap all of these things, if you don't mind, Mike, that a man needs in order to fall in love and truly commit.
Yes. So the first one is we need to remove his fear that things are going to change. So he's terrified that things are going to change, there's going to be a divorce, and so we need to remove that. And then we can start executing on that by making him feel needed, making him feel appreciated, which ultimately turns into admiration. So now you're starting to remove that fear because he's like, man, I'm admired. Man, I'm a better person with her. Man, we just keep going higher and higher in terms of purpose, in terms of feeling great about myself. Then that turns into acceptance where you accept who he is, he accepts who he is, and then finally giving him a roadmap with boundaries. This is how you keep me happy. And if you keep doing this stuff, you're never going to have to worry about me being happy. We're never going to change because I'm going to be constantly happy with you. And you can commit because we're going to be happy. We're going to have a team first relationship, not a me, you, but an us first relationship. And we are never going to go down a negative road. So feel safe in committing to me. This is going to be an elevating experience, not a struggle. This isn't like your last divorce, like your last relationship. This is a healthy, fun, happy relationship.
I think that's fantastic. And I keep being struck by the fact that this really goes both ways. This is something you want to make sure that you're feeling all these things too, right? You don't want to just, you know, men doesn't want to feel like you just took the first guy that came along because, you know, mm-hmm. You're the right age and you kind of hit the checklist. You both want to know that who this other person is allows you to grow and be a better person. You can actually commit to your own purpose and your own dreams even more as a result of being with this other person. So that was phenomenal. Thank you for that. And yeah, I know you have an amazing brand new free gift that, you know, you haven't offered to my community before. So I definitely wanted to include that. What do you have for us, Mike?
Yes, Helena. I'm so excited about this gift. It's 36 questions to fall in love. I've had this for a while, and I've had clients using it for a while. It came out, at least very publicly, in the New York Times in about 2015. And then people started looking at it. It was a scientific study done where they're like, if we take two strangers and start progressively asking them more intimate questions, where the first one's less intense, where it just keeps going higher, higher, will people fall in love? And they found that actually some people do, and some people got married. One group of strangers actually got married from this. So I've been using this for years, and what I've done is I've used it with clients. I've done it myself 3 times. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to fall in love. It doesn't mean it's your soulmate, but it does a great job at getting you to learn about a person way faster than you normally do in a much more efficient manner. So I've had a lot of folks doing this around like the date 3 to date 8 range. So anywhere once you've, you know, built up, hey, this seems pretty good, you will learn so much about the person, and it will make dating so much more efficient because sometimes it takes you, you know, 3 months, 9 months, a year to get like a decent view. With this, you can really expedite the process. And so I wanted everyone to have this for free because, I mean, we just go on dates and we just kind of wing it and we're like, I don't know what to talk about. We're having fun. This is great. I want to give you a system on how to, like, really learn about your partner and really start getting the vibe like, could this be my person? So this will make that faster. So try it out. I can tell you, doing it 3 times myself, I felt really, really connected emotionally to the women that I've done it with. So I would highly suggest.
Yeah, I was just going to say that it would, I imagine, like really deepen the intimacy and the connection more than just these surface level questions. And I get questions and comments all the time asking for like, what kind of questions do I ask? Not just in the early stages of dating, but even just to deepen that intimacy and connection with our partner. So this should be helpful really no matter where you are in your love life. And having them all written out is so valuable. So happy to include that. And do you want to mention anything around private coaching or anything like that, Mike? I'll just kind of like leave that up to you, however you want to talk about that, because I get requests all the time.
One other thing about 36 questions. I've had folks that are like been married for 10, 20 years do it too, and they learn stuff about their partner that, you know, they just never learned. So it's good for everyone. In terms of coaching, Helena and I do private one-on-one coaching where it's actually with both of us, where we have a little tag team approach. And this program's absurd. It gets 83% of folks into relationships. It's a combination of my system on how to meet a person and Helena's genius on basically feminine energy, laws of attraction, and just, you know, for me, who happens to be lucky enough to be around Helena a lot, she's just a magnet. And men, I don't know how it happens. I'll be standing next to her, and then all of a sudden, I will just be like 5 or 10 feet away because men just surround her. It's just, I don't know how she does it. I don't know, but you definitely want to learn from her because I've never seen anything like it.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe you said that. That's hilarious. Thank you for that. And I don't know if you know this, Mike, but I get, you know, every day I get several, you know, do you do private coaching anymore? And I honestly, I don't do private coaching anymore. This is the only way to work with me personally. And I feel so honored to be working with you, Mike, having the highest success rate in the country at doing this. I knew this was the perfect partnership. We work so well together. We all have so much fun with our clients. So, yeah, this is the only way to work with me personally now. I didn't know if you even wanted to talk about that. So I'm glad. But I'm glad you mentioned it. I'll include a link to sign up for a free discovery call with you. Is that the next step for that, for women who are interested in working with both of us?
Yeah. Do the discovery call with us, and we'll get to know you better. Make sure that we feel wildly confident that we can start moving you in the right direction, because, you know, we don't want to do any coaching unless we feel like just so strongly that we're going to, you know, accomplish your goals, whether it be falling in love or getting a partner. You know, we want to help you with that. And if we feel good that we can do that, then let's do it.
Awesome. So, you know, I'll include links to both of those right underneath where you're listening to this. So that's Mike's free gift, 36 questions to fall in love, and the link to sign up for a free discovery call if you're really serious about, you know, kicking up your love life, supercharging this process of attracting the right man for you. So this was phenomenal, Mike. Thank you so much. And I hope we can definitely do this again soon.
Yes. Thank you for having me on. As always, you're awesome. And everyone for listening,
right.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you guys so much for listening all the way till the end, and we will see you next time.